A Wednesday Lenten Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 11, 1998, in the series Songs in the Night, entitled When the Soul is Serene. The text for the sermon is Psalm 23. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
The psalmist says that there are songs in the night that come to him. And certainly one of the most familiar and best loved of those songs that come to us from the Psalter is the 23rd Psalm. It is a psalm that has such a special place in our lives that it's so familiar, so well known, one hardly dares say anything about it. It really is its own statement. I find that it is the passage of Scripture that is most often called for when people are in crisis. It is the passage of Scripture most often requested to be read at a funeral when we have experienced loss. It is written so deeply into our minds and hearts that it has become perhaps the most central metaphor for our understanding of God, and that in itself is remarkable. For what do we know about sheep? It surprises me when I think about it rationally that the image of the shepherd and the sheep should have been able to transcend its local context and speak to those of us who are part of the information highway, at least some of you are. Our technological world, our industrial lives, and yet there is something about the image of the Good Shepherd that continues to speak to us. I was with a couple of people recently in the chapel just looking at that stained glass window. Maybe for us, we have sentimentalized that image. But nonetheless, for whatever reason, it continues to be a powerful image for the relationship that we have with God and God's care and nurture of us as the sheep of God's fold. We probably have sentimentalized it because it is an image that we have imported, an image with which we are not familiar. But the imagery in the context of the Hebrew shepherd was not sentimental. For the shepherd had a perilous job because the sheep were in peril. The wilderness was wild. It was beset not only with violent people, but with wild animals. It was a risky business to be a shepherd. And to be a sheep was very perilous indeed. And so the 23rd Psalm, which seems to have such a tranquilizing effect upon us, is not really a sentimental image at all. If we really think about it, then we recognize that it is a statement of a great serenity in the midst of the darkness that is very much a part of the human experience. The soul is serene, not because it has found a space in which there is an absence of trouble or threat or peril or confusion or frustration, the remarkable gift of serenity is that it is present in the midst of all of that. For you don't really need the Good Shepherd when the sky is blue, the sun is shining, and all's right with the world. We can do pretty well on our own at a time like that, and as a matter of fact, we do. But the image of the Good Shepherd conveys to us a serenity that is possible in the midst of distress and peril and darkness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the image of green pastures and still waters. Wonderful picture of serenity. But it is a picture of serenity in the midst of a human experience that involves the valley of the shadow of death. That is perhaps not the nearness of death in terms of the termination of our life, but those situations of life, those deep, dark valleys through which we pass, which become signs and symbols of our fragile human existence. And God sets a table in the presence of my enemies. In other words, the 23rd Psalm is not all sweetness and light, as though serenity is the denial of the reality of all that is common to our human situation. Serenity is the gift in the midst of the human situation. That's the secret. Everybody can rejoice when the stock market goes up, the prices come down, and we have some new toy. When the children graduate and all good things happen to all those in the circle of our love and concern. That's not serenity about which I'm speaking tonight. That's nice. I don't knock it. But serenity as a gift of God is serenity in the midst of the cauldron of the human experience. To live with serenity is a very great gift. Sometimes, in days when I'm tempted to be cynical, I think that serenity is a matter of physiology. Some people are just calm in the midst of the storm, and other people are agitated in the midst of peace. And we have to recognize that we are given a certain physiology, a certain constitution. There is a certain givenness about who we are. And it is easier for some of us to be serene than for others. And then I recognize, too, that serenity, the possibility of it, has a lot to do with circumstances over which we've had no control. For the developmental psychologists speak about fundamental trust or basic trust, that deep foundation laid in infancy through nurture, through the securing of the infant and the young child, building in them not now something specifically religious, but building in them a fundamental trust in the goodness of reality, in the positive nature of all things. And some of us have been blessed with that kind of nurture. And there are many children in the world that know very little of that fundamental trust. And so it is true that we come into maturity and into adulthood with a different hand. Some of us are just constitutionally enabled to trust easier than others. And some of us have been conditioned to trust more than others. And so, if one has a soul that is serene, it is not something about which to be puffed up. It is something for which to be deeply grateful. It is a very great gift that is given. Nonetheless, for all of us, in spite of, or in view of, the chemical makeup of our being and the circumstances of our life, it is still, I believe, possible to cultivate serenity in the midst of the storm. It is still possible to fill our minds and our hearts and our being with the positive images that will enable us to move through the vicissitudes of life with some balance and some sense of security. And I think fundamental to that is this sense of relationship with that one who is ultimate, the image of the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." The eternal God, the Creator. That there is a substructure to reality. That really puts us to a choice to believe that or not. There's a statement that you've heard me quote on several occasions by the psychoanalyst Eric Fromm. And he states the opposite side very concisely in his book, Man for Himself. He writes, "There is only one solution to the human problem: to face the truth, to acknowledge his fundamental aloneness in a universe indifferent to his fate, to recognize that there is no power transcending him which can solve his problem for him." Eric Fromm says, in so many words, you are on your own. You are all alone. And you might as well face up to it and get on with your life. That's the other side of the coin from the psalmist, who believed he was not alone, that there was something else, someone else, that there was a foundation to reality and an intention of grace built into the structure of things. But you know, that is a fundamental choice that we have to make. And the older I grow and the more I think about it, the more I recognize how helpless I am to instill that in another. It is finally a gift. It is finally a grace that is given. I think we can either be open to it or closed to it. But it cannot be manipulated, controlled. It is not at our disposal. We can, however, live in anticipation of it, expectation of it, openness to it, and hopefulness. Dag Hammarskjöld, who was at one time UN General Secretary, wrote these words, "God does not die on the day we cease to believe in a personal deity. But we die on the day when our lives cease to be illumined by the steady radiance, renewed daily, of a wonder the source of which is beyond all reason." We are set before a choice, and it is not for proving or for verification. It is whether I will live in the conviction of the psalmist or yield to the barrenness of an Erich Fromm who speaks for many thoughtful people in the modern period. It is not a question of intellect. It is not a question of mind power that can prove or disprove. It is finally the disposition of the heart that is determined by the choice of the will. The will to believe, if you will. And I think if we long for that and desire that, then there are these beautiful biblical images washing over us, which need to wash over us continually in order to keep us focused on that shepherd who grounds our being and enables us to be serene in the midst of life's varied circumstances. Someone came into me recently and said, "Do you believe in God? I mean, do you really believe in God?" And I said, "Not every day." And he seemed relieved. Don't you have days when you find it very hard to believe? Don't you have days when things really don't add up and don't make sense? I think it is denial to say that isn't true of all of us sometime. And therefore I have again and again to come and let the image of the shepherd wash over me. I have to read again the apostle's words, who says, "Don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And I have to hear Jesus, who said, "Consider the lilies. Consider the lilies, or the birds. If the shepherd image has been able to transcend its context and still speak to us, as I think obviously it does, there is another image that may be more apropos to our day. I experienced it again just before I came here. I was almost late because I would not leave my loft position until the last golden rays of the setting sun had faded. And I sat and soaked in that golden sunlight that caught the snow that had etched the window through which I was looking, turning its edges into gilded, glistening gold. And I thought to myself, the wonder of this world, the beauty, the magnificence of this cosmos. Consider the lilies, the birds of the air, the dawn of each new day, and occasionally, even in Michigan, in the winter, a golden sunset. I don't know what phone call will be waiting when I get home. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, and neither do you. And I don't think that God plays favorites, that somehow or other I can pursue a path that will secure me against the darkness and the pain that's a part of the human circumstance. But in the meantime, I do believe that at the center of things, at the heart of things, there is a heart. And that I can trust. Finally, fundamentally, in the goodness of God, and believe that it is true, that surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all my days, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come what may, in spite of my hormones and chemical reactions, in spite of the circumstances that have been handed to me over which I've had no control, I do have a choice. I choose to trust. And out of trust issues serenity. I do believe that the Lord is our shepherd.